Thank you, everybody, for your time today. My name is Brian Storrs, and I'm with Kainos. We're a Workday partner. And with me, I have Sean Windle with ERP Advisors Group. And he'll be answering questions and going through our discussion around demystifying the ERP selection process. But before we get started, just a few housekeeping tasks. We are going to record today's presentation. So if you missed something or you want to go back to something, we'll be emailing you a link so you can go back and see the presentation as well. We'll be anybody that misses it, they'll also get a link. As well, we're going to be opening up for questions. Hopefully everybody has some great questions at the end. So use the Q&A button and just type in your questions. And then I promise we'll go back to them and answer each one of those, right? First, to start, I want to introduce Sean Windle and have him introduce himself really quick.
Great. Thanks, Brian. And again, thanks for having us. We appreciate it. So I'm Sean Windle and have been in the ERP market for a long time. I don't even want to keep track. We've known each other for
15 years, so it's been more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've done sort of, I'd say, small, mid-size ERP consulting for about that time frame, about 15, a little bit longer than that, actually. I started ERP Advisors about 13 years ago. We're about 30 people. But before that, had worked in with a similar firm doing similar work, but then was with Accenture and JD Edwards and PeopleSoft. And so I've really spent like 28 years around ERP. And I've seen a lot of good stuff and I've seen a whole lot of bad stuff. So, you know, I'm excited today to, you know, share some insights that are very real with people about what they need to know as part of the selection process, because the demystifying really can only happen with knowledge. And that's what we're about, is like, we want to help our clients to know exactly what they're doing so they make the right choice and they're happy with their ERP. So that's what we're all about.
Great, great. Is exactly the ERP selection process is such a, kind of a risky process if you don't do it right. Yep. So a company like yourself can really reduce that risk and make that process much easier. Just really quick on myself, I probably know a lot of you. I was the founder of Intuitive Tech also about 13 years ago, and we were an adaptive insight, adaptive planning partner, reseller, implementer, became part of Kainos about 3 years ago. So most of you have hopefully implemented your adaptive product with either Intuitive Tech or with Kainos, but Kainos is a full Workday certified partner. They're about 450 in the US and about 3,000 worldwide. So they implemented all the products from Workday, not just adaptive, right? So let's get into some questions here and get right to it here. I'm going to be reading from these questions, so I didn't have to memorize them. But let's start with, Sean, what are some of the key indicators that a business needs to move on from its legacy ERP system?
Yeah, this is a phenomenal question. And, you know, especially coming from a firm where we are truly independent objective, right? We work with you guys, we work with other vendors, we work with other software vendors, implementation partners, but we like you guys. So you do a good job, right? And you're honest and you're deliver, right? That's something that's important to us. That's why we appreciate the opportunity to partner with you guys. But when you look at that question, you know, you sort of have to kind of step back and say, you know, what is ERP? Now, I could get like all professorial, if that's a word. Yeah. Very quickly about that. We're not going to do that. But, you know, for the purpose for this conversation, you know, we look at ERP as just a framework. It's not an app that you go and buy anymore. You don't buy ERP, right? You've got, if you have an FP&A budgeting analytics forecasting scenario planning problem, right? Now we're looking at like an adaptive. But if you have a GL, AR, AP, you know, maybe some RevRec, maybe some consolidation, maybe some intercompany transactions, you're really looking at a financials app like Workday. Right. Or, you know, some folks say, I need a new ERP. And what they really need is human capital management and payroll, right? Workday does that. So do other apps. But that's why you have to look at it like a framework. And that's the first thing that we tell everybody. And usually in that chair is my partner, Juliette Welch, who is one of the top experts in the industry on ERP, because she has these great questions. And I'm like, I've been doing this my whole career. I have no idea how to answer this, right? But what we have found over the years is it all comes back to needs. What needs are you really trying to solve, right? And then you can put a framework around those needs to say, okay, we're really struggling with our billing. A lot of manual processes with billing. Like there's some nonprofit folks that were going to join us. Grants management, in, out, whatever it is. You've got all of these problems that maybe today you do things manually, right? That's a big indicator, by the way. Your organization, your business processes have changed. So we used to do something, now we do something plus a bunch of adjacent services, right? Look at you guys, how you've been able to expand your portfolio with the services you guys offer, right? And probably the other big thing that we see for an indicator is legacy technology. So if you're on an app that isn't going to be supported, right? And I can't tell people enough that they need to follow Rebecca from my team online, who's behind the camera here, because she spends a lot of time figuring out what really is Microsoft doing with GP, or what is going to happen with ECC6 from SAP, or, you know, what really is this Peachtree to Sage 50, you know, transition or whatever it is, right? There's so many legacy apps in the market today that, they don't support the business anymore. And not only that, but where are these products going to be in a couple years? Now, oh, we've got paths, and, you know, I think Oracle is really good about this. You know, we're going to support the products, and, you know, and they have got a date, SAP, they've got a date, then they move the date. That's great. You know, I think there's great companies out there, and I think they want to support their customers. But at some point, you have to look at it and say, wow, I really feel like we're like the old kids on the block here with our software, and something's going to change. Something will change. So it's another big indicator about, you know, when it comes to when you're doing a selection, why you would do a selection. Those are three really, really good reasons to look at.
Right, right. I follow Rebecca on LinkedIn. Yeah, I see her videos, and it's actually very good information. Like, you guys are definitely know the market. You just watch that, and it's about all vendors. Really good. So anybody on this, you know, should follow Rebecca, because yes, that's a great thing that you guys do there too. You know, it's not here, but needs. It's like, how often do they not know their needs? I mean, that's part of what you guys are helping them with, is like, I mean, the whole, they don't know what they don't know, I think is, and you go into a project and there you have a problem. So how often do they not know what they need?
That is a great question. So let's see, right now, we're probably working with about 20 companies, nonprofits, through their needs analysis and selection. And the ones we are in selection, we help through needs. So what typically happens is a customer says, I'm going to think of a specific scenario. There's a professional services firm we just started working with. They said, we're on an app and we got it when we were half the size we are now, and we don't like it. And we want somebody to objectively help us figure out here what we should do with the app. So there's some kind of like driver that everybody in the organization agrees with, right? In this case, it's they don't like the product, right? Whatever it is. I won't get into specific names, for this time. But they all agree they don't like it, right? So then there's an agreement, okay, we want somebody who can tell us what to do, but we say we can totally figure that out once we understand what you really need. Because sometimes you go in there and you look at the product that they have and it's actually okay. Maybe they didn't get good training. Maybe the implementation wasn't very good. But frankly, often enough, I mean, these are smart, savvy business people who've been in the, you know, the work world for a long time, right? There is some fundamental problem. So then we can dig in and say, okay, you need, just as an example for these folks, right? You need project management, intercompany billings. So intercompany receivables, payables. You need to roll up and do financial consolidation. You got some international stuff, and you want to do budgeting and planning. And your current app, it's you can do it, but it's not really built to scale with the kind of growth that they were looking at, right? So that we will actually substantiate that in the sales process. We will actually go through all that with them because I don't want myself or my people working with a company that, you know, doesn't really need help, you know? So, I mean, we do this all the time. We call it Erica's free consulting, ERP consulting service. My partner who runs our business development, she'll talk to folks and she'll say, you know, actually, that's not true. Like, we know that app can do it. Like, here, go talk to a couple partners. We don't make a dime from anybody, right? We just pass them off to people who take care of them, right? But again, when they're really getting into like, like it's almost like physical phenomenon a person goes through or we go through when we're like, oh, wow, the person who wrote your app wants to retire. And they're like 95, you know, it's like, I think they wanted to retire a long time ago. There's usually something very obvious that kicks in.
Tribal knowledge.
The tribal knowledge is how we run the app, you know, and then you can sort of dig into categories of needs, right? Is it front end, say middle office, back office, right? That's just a simple way to kind of look at that because we've had folks that come to us and they say, okay, you know, we need a new ERP. And we're like, no, you don't, you need CRM. And like, why? Well, because blah, we want to do configure price quote. We want to do our order management closer to the salespeople. Okay. Well, that's more of a front office solution. So the point here is that like to your question, a lot of folks know they need something, right? That's why they call us. That's probably why they call you. They're outreaching, they're looking, they're doing some demos maybe. Usually get confused. And so sometimes they call us and say, hey, we really need just an advisor to walk us through this. But I mean, ultimately it comes down to if you don't do this for a living and you don't know the market, it's just confusing.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm sure you guys, and you do a good job of, I think, sifting through that confusion for your customers. That's like right. Why we like to work with you guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it does get very confusing.
Right? Yeah.
You know, just staying really quick on this needs thing. One of the things that we see, and it's usually kind of in the whole scoping process, right? And especially with the integrations, is there's this balance between needing to integrate something that they put into their system now, or that they don't put into their system now, they manually put it in there, and automating that process or the budget that it costs, right? So it's like, here's 50 integrations that I need. And well, here's this price tag that just blows the whole scope up and causes all these problems. I think a company like yourself protects against that, right? So you don't really need to integrate automatically something that you put into the system once every a quarter, right? Something like that. I mean, I think that you guys do a really good job of keeping that scope reasonable and not blowing it out, right? Because needs can go the other direction.
Exactly. Right?
Where they think they need all this and, you know, they really don't. And you guys help that.
Right. Yeah. And you know, you talk about an area. There's three areas that keep me up at night. Actually, there's a fourth, it turns out. I just saw my mom in Key West. I popped down and saw her for the day and we were sitting at a restaurant and I was like, oh, my feet are a little itchy. And later I realized I have got like, I mean, look at all these bumps. So that's keeping me up at night right now, but we'll pull that one away.
Bug bites.
I'm seriously gone. But the three things that we worry about most are integrations, data migration, and customizations. Right. Those are like the three killers that you have to manage those. So like you talk about with integrations, I mean, look, you're buying a new software solution. Maybe you haven't had one for a long time and you're dying from all the manual work around some of your, if you're in the retail industry or the wholesale industry and you have retailers, big box stores, or you have 3PLs, or, you know, you've got banks, you got lots of different banks that you have, or you have some other examples, maybe your HCM, you've got all kinds of carriers that you have, right? And you're like, come on, I have my people talking to these people and we're sending files in Excel and it's crazy and we lose stuff and I want it all integrated, just like you said.
Yeah.
I think a reasonable business person should expect that in a project. But the reality is, like you're saying, the execution of it is so risky because especially with integrations, right? I always try to try to give these illustrations so people really understand this. You've experienced this, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
There, where you're like working, like we had a client with international, it was one bank. I won't say who it was, but it was something like Wells something. Fun time. And I mean, it was a nightmare. Now, I think all of the banks, the speed at which they work is a little bit different sometimes than we go, like always. Now, people out there that are in the banking industry, please call me, tell me how great you are, and let's work together. All right. I mean it. I get calls. Actually, Rebecca gets calls every once in a while when I drop little things like that. So please call Rebecca at, just kidding, Rebecca. Anyway, but this particular client had maybe 10 international entities that were integrated with their bank. And they had the same bank across different regions of the world, different countries. And the integrations, it's straightforward. I think we're pumping up maybe an ACH file, bringing back transactions for bank statement reconciliation, kind of basic stuff in financials, no big deal. But, you know, finding the right person at the bank who can help you to build the files and be your interface, that takes a long time. Then you find the right person, they go on vacation, especially the Italians. I love the Italians. My whole family, my dad's side's Italian, but when it comes to summer, they take their vacations. Right. So there's a delay, right? And then you go and you finally, the person comes back and then there's problems and there's this and that, and they pass a file and it's the wrong file. And it's the wrong format. Finally, you get through this. This is like 6 months later for one integration. So that's the risk with integrations. It's not just the technology, which can be super hard, especially if you're using some of these, the integration platform as a service, iPaaS stuff, Jitterbit or MuleSoft or the TIBCO solutions. There's all kinds of stuff out there, Boomi, all kinds of stuff, which require specialized skills just to implement the technology. Then you have a partner, whether it's your 3PL or it's a bank that you have to work with too. So, you know, I'm probably going on too long on this, but I really want people to understand when it comes to integrations, be realistic. So if you think you want 50, let's get that down to maybe the first five, get the wins on getting the five in place. Cause remember, like you said, you have zero today,
right?
Get through all those, learn the technology of how to set up the integrations. How did we do that? Right. And then the rest of them will go easier, but don't bite off too much more than you can chew. That's what it comes down to.
Exactly. Exactly. And then there's always the trainer, right? Like let's us as your implementers show you how to build these integrations. So, you know, we can keep the budget in line if you absolutely have to have these, right? So, you know, we're talking about the risks of the project, right? But what people don't talk about often is the risk of doing nothing.
Mm.
So the risk of staying on a legacy software solution that is not growing with the company and the company is getting more and more complex. So if you could talk about kind of the risks of doing nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, we did a project with you guys. I'm thinking about a mission here in town, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And great organization.
Denver Mission.
Yep. Love those guys. Yeah. And when we went in and sort of did the needs assessment to figure out what it was they were really looking for, what they really needed, they hadn't gotten onto modern systems. Their CFO brought us in to explore, you know, what could really happen here? What are the real opportunities? And we started looking at it. It was like, whoa, there is like all of your people that are running your programs. And these guys are phenomenal. I mean, unbelievable, the mission that they do and the difference they make for our city. And I love them. But the people that were running these really key programs had very little understanding about what their expenditures were in real time. They could figure them out eventually, but it took a long time. So they were making decisions, financial decisions based off of old data. It's kind of cliche. Everybody talks about this stuff, but like there really were decisions that they could have been making had they had more real-time information about programs. How much did we budget versus actuals? Basic stuff, you'd think, right? I think a lot of organizations are like that. So when we kind of came in and we sort of addressed what's happening because they're on the legacy application, and we could point out these pain points today, but also as they got bigger and they had more programs, they had more money, they had more constituents that they were looking to serve, they sort of realized, oh, so the cost of this is that we can't meet our mission to the level that we need to. And that's, as a firm, we love that when we get to the point where everybody in the room knows, oh, that's the impact. That's the impact of being on the old software, right? Sometimes maybe it doesn't exist. Maybe there isn't an impact, but more times than not, the key people, the sponsors, the folks that really have everything vested in these software solutions, you know they're losing sales because they don't have information in real time or even near real time about their customers. They're losing profit because they're operating. Well, I'll just go back to cost of goods sold. That's the next thing on the P&L. Cost of goods sold is high because we don't have insight into inventory and how much we're purchasing across the same vendor, across all the entities we've acquired, right? Oh, we've got 50 businesses. We have a client like this right now, and each one does business with similar vendors, but they have no ability to see the overall spend across the whole organization. They're actually doing a program to solve that right now. But you can reduce cost of goods sold by having that information pretty quickly. And then you have operating expenses. Maybe you have a ton of people doing stuff that's manual, and everybody knows it's manual. Here's the thing I would say, Brian, and I think our firms are similar on this, right? We don't do this to eliminate people. When I was at the larger firms, yes, I remember my first project was to take this IT group we were working with that was maybe, I don't know if it was 750 people down to 250 people, right? That was the big, I mean, I don't do that. We don't do that kind of work. What we do though, is when these organizations are on these legacy apps, and they know they have a lot of manual stuff, maybe there's extra people, but more likely as they grow, they're going to have to add more headcount. And when they add those people are going to say, oh, I don't know how to use this system, right? We have a lot of clients that are on AS/400 systems that are green screen, blue screens, whatever. And a lot of folks that are, you know, a little earlier in their career are like, you know, I don't know what that is.
No way.
I don't know. I'm not going to do that.
I both remember the AS/400, JD Edwards.
JD Edwards stuff.
I can't imagine a new grad coming out on that. So.
Yeah. They're the AI and ML. They're like, you use a green screen.
No way. Yeah.
So that again, that's another point that if the organizations, the nonprofits, the for-profits, the government agencies that go through this process, you know, those things are happening. They are happening, right? And you know, for people to listen to these calls, to talk to you, to talk to us, usually there's a person, one person that is the project sponsor that's got, you know, the guts to like say, hey, you know, we got to do something. And maybe everybody in the organization isn't quite there yet, but that one person, when they see these things that I just talked about, they know it's the right thing to do for the company to do something. So that's the most important part.
Right, right. And I think some folks on this call might be in this position right now. But just to point out, I mean, there's been two examples that we worked with your group. We started with Adaptive because mm-hmm. that number one problem of not doing anything was just visibility of data. And Adaptive is a great solution for that. Gives you that visibility of budget to actual and what are your expenses, and your reporting tool gets better. So it's a good place to start. But after that, it then went into the full ERP, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of examples where we were at Oltec as well, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they started with Adaptive, and Workday sees that a lot. So Workday purchased Adaptive about 5 years ago, and they knew it would be like this would solve the immediate problem. But the long-term solution is a new ERP system, and they want to be there for when the company's ready to do that, right? So there's a couple examples of where we've worked together there, right? So
those are good ones too. Yeah.
So let's see. Let's go. What are some of the indications that a business should wait to upgrade?
I like that.
We're doing it, and we're not doing it, and now we're going to wait.
Oh man, let's see. Six. Here we go. The first one is. You're the only person who sees it, right? Somebody sees it or else they wouldn't be on this call. If you're the only person who sees it, wait. So I'll get to the second. You'll see why in the second reason is if your boss doesn't support the change, wait. There could be others like at your level that agree, but if your boss doesn't agree, you need to wait. They need to be educated. They need to understand. They need to see the pain, right? Because what you're about to ask them is a lot. and there's a lot at risk. So you need your boss's support on this. And I don't care if your boss is anybody, it could be the owner of the business. It could be the board, right? If they don't agree with this, don't do it. But the third point comes into how you handle that one, which is if you don't really know what you need, then you should wait, right? But if you do know what you need, you can go to your boss, you can go to others, and then you know, and everybody knows, right? So that's a big one though. It's like, oh, we're not sure what we need. Oh, great. Let's go talk to a bunch of vendors. Yeah, good luck with that. Mm-hmm. Those are the folks that come to you after.
Oh, we see it all the time.
Yeah. Five, six, seven demos and they're not sure.
When you always know because the conversation just goes in a direction that you know is wrong, but it's difficult to, as the vendor, to redirect them into the direction that you know they need to go. And that's what a company like yourself, like your company, does for them. Right. That's a big benefit.
That's right. Yeah. Right. And we help out with that a lot.
Yes.
And love it too. I think maybe the next thing is if you are talking to vendors and they're good vendors, right? They're folks that care, honest, again, I keep plugging you guys, but it's kind of true, right? There's other vendors too, for sure, but you guys do a great job of that. And it still doesn't feel right. You need to wait. Don't waste your time. Don't waste the vendor's time. But also, this gets to probably the fifth thing, which is when you see your team, the people that you're bringing in for these conversations with the vendors, if they're on their email and they're not asking questions and they're just disinterested, wait. Because they don't see the need for this. And the more you bring them into further discussions, the more you're impacting your own goodwill with these people. So I'm just, I'm kind of a say it as it is kind of guy, right? And then probably the last one, and I think this is probably the most important, is budget. So if budget is a really tough thing to figure out in ERP, because what are you buying? That's what's the hard part. When you know what you want and you know it's there, it's easy to get the budget. It's always easy. But even if you have numbers, right, you need to include client side implementation services. We help our clients a ton with implementations because they're busy. Their folks are, running around doing a ton of stuff. Sometimes it's an hour a week. Sometimes it's more than that. But you have to include those kinds of costs. You have to include data migration costs. You have to include backfill costs, especially for a larger financials implementation like you guys would do on the financial side, or HR payroll, HCM. You're requiring your HR teams to put a lot of time into designing and setting up these systems. Well, who's running the business? Who's helping the employees in the meanwhile? Oh, they'll do it. Okay, well, can you give them a little bonus then, since now they got a day and a nighttime job? So there's money there. There's budget that goes into that. So the sixth thing I would say that would be a reason why you wait is if you don't have adequate budget, and what I'm really getting to here is that the organization, whoever that is, it's a person. It always goes back to a person. It might be the CFO, it might be the CEO, it might be the board, whatever. If they don't have adequate budget to do this, then and you do it anyway, it's probably going to go over, because there's a lot of things on the client side that you don't even know are going to come. And if you go over and it's just a disaster for everybody, I mean, not only are you risking your job.
Absolutely.
Which nobody wants that. You guys don't want that. We don't want that. Nobody does. The software vendors don't want that. But if there isn't a tolerance for an acceptable amount of budget, wait, because the reality is that all of those things I just said are earlier indicator, or they're indicators of an earlier outness is the word I would use, which is nobody understands why we're doing this in the first place. Nobody sees the business benefit in the first place. Nobody really says, well, that Clyde who wrote the app, even though he's 95, he'll be around another 10 years. No, he won't. Maybe he does want to actually retire. No, he really will be. Okay. Well, look, when you're looking at all these things, the person who sees all this has a lot of responsibility to go through and listen to us, to talk to you guys, talk to us, but they're also really banking on helping the organization, and that the organization wants help. Maybe it doesn't want help.
Absolutely.
And if it doesn't, the person has to look at that for themselves and say, okay, is it, am I still in integrity by being here? I'm just going to say it, right? Because once you see the problem and you're not solving it, you become part of the problem. I mean, this is like my 401 conversation, like, you know, the college level, for sometimes with clients, where we do have to say, you know, we see this, you are correct. The independent objective view is there is major business benefit to do this, but the organization doesn't want to spend the budget yet. So if you're okay with that, which there are certainly circumstances where they should be, fine. But if you're not okay with that, you know, you have to just look at what that means. Ooh, that was kind of nasty.
Bro. Yeah. You want to talk about things that keep you up at night?
Yeah.
Being the sponsor of an ERP project where your boss doesn't support it.
Oh, man.
Okay. No. And if it goes wrong,
yeah.
But if it goes right, you're the hero.
There you go.
I mean, you know, you're the one that brought this amazing software to the company and changed the process and saved all this money, you know, or you're the guy that brought that, you know, that system that nobody likes into the, right. That you want to talk about staying up at night right there.
That's right.
That's and that's why, you know, it's like, did you do the due diligence in the sales process from the customer? I mean, that's so important to look back and say that we did. And that's what a company like ERP Advisory Group does.
That's right.
Is help them with that. So can you take us through your process, right? So some of the benefits, right? And we just kind of mentioned some, but some of the benefits and what's the process that you go through that you help your customer?
I would love to do it. We got a ton of stuff on our website, and I think most people that, believe it or not, actually end up engaging with us, they like scour our site because they want to be informed, right? And there are instances where it doesn't make sense for us to engage with a company. We'll be the first ones to talk about that. So when I say these things, these are really meant around the do-it-yourselfer. I really mean that, right? If they need help, they'll find us and it'll be fine. But I'm more worried about the guys and gals that are like, I can do this myself. Like, okay, good. But you better know what to do. So here's the things that you do. So you definitely start off by inventorying your pain points and your limitations to growth across the areas of the business that you want to automate in that ERP framework again. So let's say we know we're on, maybe a large payroll application that a lot of companies are on, and they don't like the support. That probably resonates with a lot of people. And they really don't like it. And the business is changing and they need more help and they want a strategic relationship. And their interaction with their employees is just, you know, blah, right? With their current app, they want to actually pizzazz that. They want to have great human experience for the humans that are, you know, are the capital of the organization. Anyway, so the first thing you do is go out and find out what's broken today and what will be broken as you continue to grow. You got to get that list together. And I mean, look, we get all fancy schmancy in how we do it, but I don't care if it's like a Word document or in notes and something on a Mac, just brrr, like go talk to a few people, go find out the subject matter experts in these areas. They know what's really going on, right? You got to identify those people and all that, but get that list, that inventory list. Then you sort of have to get the vision of, I mean, it's really kind of the current scene analysis is the fancy way of saying it. But then you have to look at the ideal state. Like, what would we ideally have here? So again, sticking in the HCM area, you know, we would ideally have all of the employee life events interaction through the site, everything, and that people love it. It's easy for them to do. It's instant. We'd have integrations with the carriers. Like we would really give our employees this experience of interacting with us that's just world-class. Like we had a client that was that way, right? So now you've got the pain points, limitations to growth, and so you can see how you deviate from that ideal scene. But now that you understand what the ideal scene is, then you can start looking at, well, what are the real benefits of making this happen? You know, and HR, payroll, human capital management is a little bit tough for benefits because it's soft benefits, right? It's like, how many employees could we retain if we had a better HCM experience? I don't know. But, you know, look at your organization. You guys are big. There's a lot of people. If you had you know, experience. I'm sure you guys probably do. I don't know. I haven't been an employee with Kainos, but
we use Workday.
Yeah. You use Workday and there's a reason for that, right? Yeah, I mean, other than you implement it, but you know, it's a really great experience for employees. Everybody agrees with that. Yeah. So do some employees stay with you over others because of that experience? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's 5%, maybe only 2%. You reduce your turnover by a couple percentage points. And you think about how expensive it is to train a new person.
It's terrible, especially today.
Especially today. It's hard, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of people have options. And it's easy for a person to roll out of bed, go to their computer one day with one company.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of recruiters and everybody finds. So, you know, so those are the kinds of benefits that we're looking to pick up on the HR payroll side. On a financial side, totally different, right? That's more about visibility. If you give decision makers more visibility into their P&L, into margin, into, you know, their budgets, the actuals, like we've worked on before, all of a sudden the decisions that they make are 10 times more effective for the organization, right? It's a little easier to pick up those dollars. I mean, that's just in like 2 minutes that I just threw out those benefits. The people that are, you know, listening to this call, they're thinking about ERP, they know their organizations pretty well. So they can see, you know, the difference between a manufacturer and a services firm, the benefit types are going to be different. But, you know, a professional services firm like yours or mine, you know, if we can increase utilization by 5%, that's top line dollars that go up. Of course, we got to take out our COGS, but there's real money that comes from that. Manufacturer, if they can get product, the throughput is faster, they get more insight into their work orders, they can be more efficient. Like there's real dollars that come to the bottom line. So that's why the benefits are important, right? Now you have to go to costs. Now, the cost of ERP, that's tricky because what are you buying? Well, you know, if you can sort of narrow it down to the type of software, but then you also need the number of users and the modules that you would purchase too. So some of the vendors, their pricing is based off of 3-year employee counts. I think Workday is similar to that. Some other vendors are based off of the volume of transactions that you do.
Right.
Others are just the users and the modules. So, you know, you kind of need to do a little bit of research into the market to see, you know, what are your colleagues using? You know, talk to some friends. Maybe you met some people at a trade show, you know, or you've heard of whatever apps. Yeah, call the vendors, but be able. Don't just do the damn demo. I just said damn and I mean it. Don't do the demo first. Just tell them, hey, here's kind of what I need. Here's a little bit of the users. Can you give me some idea of pricing? Knowing that it's ballpark pricing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Then you have to look at change management risks. So we're move off the software and the costs and all that, you know, kind of hard stuff. And you got to move into the soft side a little bit. And you really have to look at, just talking to a client this morning that's rolling out SAP actually across all their businesses, HR and financials. It's a huge project for this organization, multi-billion-dollar company. And the impact to the person who's in the field is actually pretty minimal because their supervisor is the one who's interacting with the systems, right? And their supervisor are fairly technical people. So, you know, you have to look all the way down to the end user, like what's their life going to be like in this new app, all the way through to reporting and analytics users, to managers, executives, you know, frontline, all across to say, no kidding, how's this app going to impact us? And you also have to have the concept of where are we going as a firm? If we're doing a ton of acquisitions, mergers and acquisitions, is it really a good time to implement software? Well, you know, it's only going to get worse. That's true. Maybe it is a good time, right? Or if your team that would do the implementation is also doing all your M&A work, you're going to have to make them decide which to do. Oh, they can do it all. No, they'll just quit. And then you lose the people that are part of your strategy, right? Like, so, I mean, you can tell with everything that we do as an organization, you know, it's not, it's so funny. We had a client that was from McKinsey. It wasn't McKinsey, but they were from that organization. And we talked like this the whole time. It was so funny because we're like, no, practical. And they were extremely bright people, very focused on sort of the conceptual side. And we're like, I can show you my back from when we were too conceptual and not practical. And we had problems with clients where we got whipped, you know, like, how could you do this to me? So we're very practical with what I'm saying here, and keep the organizational change management risk identification as practical. So that was a lot, but you basically have your pain points, limitations to growth. You have your ideal scene, you have your benefits, you have your costs, you have your change management risks, and hopefully mitigations. What are you going to do about them? Then you sort of say, okay, are there apps in the market that can do this? Now you're ready to go back to the steer codes, to the executives, to the boards to say, okay, this is what we want to do. Do you agree or not? And then when you get the agreement, that's really when you should go back to those vendors that maybe you got the high level pricing from and start engaging with them. Because before then, you know, it's sort of like shopping for houses when you ain't got the money, or you don't have the need, or you ain't got whatever it is. You know, you're just looking, but when you get all that homework done, man, you're just set up then to engage with folks like you guys at a really good level. You know, you're not wasting your time.
Absolutely. Well, listen, from somebody that is the vendor, right? And have been a part of a number of selections that your organization has ran, both with Adaptive and all the way back to JD Edwards days, full ERP, that, you know, 15 years ago, I could say some of the advantages that I see is what you just said. When we come walking in and they know what they want, it makes our job so much better and easier, and our presentation more spot on, and just the whole process better, right? And they see what they need to see. They don't see what they don't need to see, and they don't go on tangents, and it's very focused. And that's what a selection company does as well. A couple other things that I've seen, and you mentioned it, the pricing and the pricing models amongst all the vendors, it's different. And even the implementation methodologies, right? So Workday uses really three different methodologies that they implement with, right? And it's based upon budget and need, right? But to evaluate one of our methodology against another vendor's methodology is very complex for, you know, somebody that's not in the business. And that was what you guys give them. You give them apples to apples, right? So it's an orange and an apple, but you can turn it into apples and apples, right?
Exactly.
And it's great because we can work with you and get you the information that you need, and you can put it into, you know, a presentation that they can understand, right? So, I mean, that's from a vendor. That's a big advantage. We know that they're looking at apples to apples and not, you know, comparing one thing to another, right? Another thing that I really like, and I've seen a number of times, a number of much more frequent than you really think, is you go through all this due diligence, you go through all these demos, you go through all this analysis, and then somebody leaves. C-level leaves, sponsor leaves. And if there isn't a selection company, it just plain dies. There's no decision made. And no decision doesn't help anybody.
That's right.
Right. And that happens a lot. I mean, we're seeing it right now. We're seeing it in a selection right now where that happened. And it's just, it's like, it just dies. Right. So talk about when that happens.
I mean, We
the new seat comes in and then you have to start over again.
Right? Yeah. We had a client recently that, we were engaged by the CFO, went through the needs analysis, started the selection, and then he left. And so the CEO said, hey, what do you think we should do?
Yeah.
Now, believe me, like after doing this for so long, and we have a great reputation in the market. If the right thing we were going to tell him the right thing no matter what, right? And the fact of the matter is they need new software, regardless of who the CFO is or isn't. So, but there are times where we will look at that and say, you gotta wait. Like I'm actually thinking of another client where we didn't wait. So started the project, CFO was let go. By the PE, private equity firm, which usually means a failure for financial performance, you know, something happened there. But they're still growing and expanding. All the fundamentals were still the same. They just wanted a different kind of a leader for that office. And so we were going down the path of a very practical solution. See, when we do this, right, we're looking at getting a client into not just the software, but an implementation partner that's right sized for them. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, this is why we like working with you guys. You don't pay us a dime, mm-hmm. right? But if we bring you in, we know you're going to take care of our client. And that is priceless to us. That means everything. And, you know, for instance, you guys do an implementation on the financial side that's, you know, pretty scalable for a mid-sized business to really get into a tier one platform, right? They got a lot of growth in the future. Let's not do that stair-step approach. Let's just go to the tier one, you know, and go from there. Other vendors have similar programs, but we like what you guys do there. And for some clients, we will sort of match them with a vendor and an implementation software vendor and implementation partner that aren't big for a reason, because we know they don't really know what they need to know until they get into the app. We had a merger of two technology firms several years ago, where it was clear to us that nothing was clear in the merger. Like, we didn't know who was going to sustain. Was it an acquisition? Was it a merger? Oh, it's a merger. They're never a merger.
They're very common. Who's actually going to run the business?
That's right. And who are the people? They may come from either side. And what's their philosophical approach to enterprise software? Oh, we automate everything. It's not really possible, you know? So we're like, if we go with a large vendor here that has a really expensive implementation, they're going to waste a ton of money, because they're going to waste a ton of money on anybody. So we went with more of a tier two, more scaled down approach with them, so that they could work through and flush through all the organizational changes and, you know, who's going to drive the vision of the system. Okay, finally that person comes in place, and now they're ready to actually tell us what they need 9 months into the project, but they had to get the software when they did for various reasons. So all I'm trying to say is a company that's evaluating, a nonprofit that's evaluating enterprise software and implementation partners, they have to make sure that they're coming in and working with the right sized software vendor and implementation partner. Because if they're not, it's like, you know, it's like going out and buying too big of a house. Oh, we're going to have kids in the future. Let's get a really big house. And then you don't have the kids and you lose your job. And you're like, oh my gosh, this was a mistake, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we should have gone down a little bit more, or vice versa.
Oh yeah. Alternatively, you go buy a small house and then you have three kids. You
know? That's right. And then you're moving in 2 years, and it's a nightmare.
Expensive.
It's horrible for 2 years.
These projects are expensive. And you have to evaluate. Do you want to do it once or do you want to do it twice?
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Good.
Well, how are we doing on time? Okay. Great. Excellent. Do we have questions? Okay. Yeah. Comment, huh? You go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. I just talked to a company today that's the case. Get them ready.
Comes from the top. I mean, you know, it has to.
It has to. If the folks at the top aren't ready, then don't, like I said, that's an indicator to wait. But if the folks at the top know, oh man, again, like it's a physical manifestation. Oh, my head hurts. Like, I know I got to do something. We got to do something. And maybe the folks aren't quite ready for change. They need the, you know, the respect to see the change. It's not their job to see the future like it is the folks at the top. That's my view. It's just they need to get through their work. They need to get things done. We want them to elevate and be more strategic with their time. So the more we can automate, the better. And this is my own view. Nobody's going to lose their job because of AI and ML and EIEIO. Like, I mean, I've been around long enough to know that doesn't happen. People's value that they bring goes higher and higher and higher with the right technology solutions. That's the way it works. So I would say it's just as important, if you are at the top and you know you got to change, to work with the vendor side as it is to work with your employees. And once they see the vision of what we're, why we're doing this and why and how they fit into it, and if they still disagree, they might not be on board for this kind of transformation because it's hard. It is hard, right? But normally, I'd say 80% of the people, if not more, are like, this is going to be so painful. And but you know, that's kind of cool. And I kind of think it's the right thing. Yeah, we'll work it out. That's what I would say. What would you say?
Well, I mean, I would say I've seen so many careers started from ERP projects when they were on the project team. And then they became, you know, it was successful. They became the expert in that solution for that company. And they grew their career exponentially, maybe became a consultant even. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 15 years later are still very active in the user group community. And it was like the super positive thing for them. And they weren't an executive. They were just a part of the delivery team. And it's just very, but I mean, hopefully people see that vision. Like, this is good. This is good. This knowledge is good. I mean, cause I've seen, I'm sure you've seen that too.
Yeah.
I mean, part of the started off doing an implementation as a customer and grew that to who knows where. Right. So, I mean, that's hopefully that's what they see. Right.
Yep. That's great. Yeah. Yes, is the answer to that. This again gets, I usually say conceptual framework, but by then people are like, what are you talking about, Sean? So now I just say framework. It goes to what is the framework that you're trying to solve for? So if you have lead to close or quote or, you know, pricing sort of problems, right? That's that those can be solved with a CRM. You can leave your ERP, quote unquote. I really actually don't even like that phrase, even though it's like, we named one of our cars is called ERPy.
It's like, it is an old term.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I mean, this gets back to the ultimate question that was asked around, can you replace, a CRM without replacing ERP or even maybe some other apps? And like I was saying, I look at it like a puzzle box. That's like 27, 28 years of experience. And that's what I can tell you. Puzzle box. Look at it like a puzzle box. ERP is for a manufacturer distributor, right? It's that, you know, order, inventory, manufacturing, maybe QC. That might be something specific into invoicing and then into accounting, right? And then you got sales, lead to close, lead to quote, whatever you want to call it, marketing stuff. Marketing team, just marketing stuff, I'll say. And then you have HR payroll with the employee lifecycle and payroll. Those are pieces of the puzzle, right? And so if the problem we have is down here, if it's employee experience, right, with and benefits, you could replace your HR payroll system without touching the ERP. If it's upfront CRM, absolutely. You know, some ERPs have it in them, some don't. Right. But a lot of ERPs like Workday are built to work and integrate with like a Salesforce. So it could drive some requirements for what you're looking for on the CRM side. But I definitely think pulling the pieces apart is best because here's the real thing, man, you don't want to implement all this stuff if you don't have to at the same time. Always better to phase it, phase. So you get a little chunk, you get a win with that. You go to the next chunk, you get a win with that. So I like that. That's a great question about can you replace these different parts independent of the ERP? The answer is absolutely yes.
Absolutely, right. Right.
All right. So I'm going to ask this question. So anyway.
Okay.
Now the question is, mm-hmm. If your product is rumored to be sunsetting, is there someone that you recommend that they could contact for more information?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll repeat it. So the question is around your product is being sunsetted and meaning they're not going to upgrade it. It's you know, there's a number of vendors that have just decided that they're not going to upgrade their product and they're going to most likely force you onto something else, right? Is why they're doing that. But who do you contact and how do you get information about that? So,
yeah, Rebecca.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. I really mean it. That I mean, look, you should always go to your partner, that you've engaged with over the years,
yeah.
who's earned your trust and vice versa. And you should say to them, what's really going on? Like, for real, no kidding. You know, whether it's Deltek or Epicor or, I'll just list them off, you know, Deltek, Epicor, Sage, SAP, Oracle, Microsoft. I mean, those vendors come to mind because they're not pure SaaS vendors like Workday that's always upgrading, right? So those, did I say Infor? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Infor has got a gazillion. ECI has a bunch too. I mean, those are just eight. All eight of those vendors have apps that we get calls about every day. I mean, literally every other day where somebody says, I don't know what's going on with Mercola. We're like, we do. And it's kind of bleak, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's something
that and I would add that, you know, they're sunsetting it because they want you to go to something else. And is there a migration path to that other product, or is it a new ERP implementation? And in that case, it's oftentimes better to go look at other vendors.
That's right.
Right. And so, I mean, my experience, I was in that position with JD Edwards, mm-hmm. and there was a path to the newer system or a newer version from the green screen, but it was almost always a new ERP evaluation. And I think that is best for the company. Like, let's go look at everything, right? Because it's, you know, a migration or a new ERP is often the same.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree. If you're going to do the upgrade, you really could look the vendor, the implementation partner in the eye and say, is this really a new implementation?
Yeah.
And you know, again, most people, the vast majority of people are good people, and they're going to say, yeah, it really is. So it may be worth it at that point to go to market, see what else is out there so that you're sure, right? If you're going to do this, even that upgrade, which is really a re-implementation, is going to be hard. No matter what you do, it's going to be hard. So make sure you have the right app that's going to meet your needs for the long term, yeah. which could be different than when you bought this app before. Exactly. Yeah.
And the cost gets very complex.
Yeah.
On a migration, right? So oftentimes it's not only same amount of work, but same amount of cost.
That's right.
Right. So that's a great time to bring in a company like ERP Advisory Group, right? To say, should we migrate or should we go new?
Right. Yep. That's right. Yep, we can help.
All right.
Good.
All right. We'll wrap it there. Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, Brian, for having us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, yeah.
All right. Take care, everybody.